Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're always welcome to chime in. 888-957-9570 is the number. We've talked a little bit about Kuminga and Jimmy Butler and now the Niners and Nick Sorensen. We've got a Warrior game tonight in less than 2.5 hours. NBA Cup game in Houston. We will count you down and get you ready for sure. I just want to explain what I was saying earlier with regard to the idea that it would. I could make the argument it would be better if the Warriors lose tonight. I know I can make the argument. In fact, I know that the argument has already been made. I don't even need to make it. Anthony Slater came on the roast earlier today and already made the argument. Listen to what he said.
So they had to pack for an 11-day trip when they went to Houston, because theoretically, if they win through here to the Cup Finals, they got to go Houston straight to Vegas, Vegas straight to Memphis, Minnesota. Like you said, they lose tonight, they're home tomorrow, they get like 3 days off, probably 2 good practices in. They get a worse Mavericks team than the Thunder team they'd play in Vegas, and they don't have to play that extra game that doesn't actually even matter to the regular season, the finals. So there's definitely an argument, considering age, that, you know, losing tonight might be suggestible, whatever you want to say. But, you know, like, they're not going to actually want to do that.
Yeah, like, I'm not a tank guy, and that's not what I'm suggesting.
This would be a straight lay down.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that.
And Steve Kerr already said to us multiple times that this actually matters to the players.
Great, good for them. I'm telling you from my perspective that they have not. The NBA, I've said this to you before, the NBA has still done a horrific job in making the NBA Cup matter to the fans.
This is only year two, and it's already, I think, more. It matters more this year than it did last year.
How?
Because players are more invested in it, and the coverage has been greater in it, and fans are more aware of exactly what it is now.
That's just sort of the organic understanding of what's going on, which I still don't even think is at that high a level. But again, that doesn't speak, at least to me, that doesn't speak to it mattering to fans. That's fans understanding it more. But I have no idea why you would root for your team, especially an older one, to get an extra game that doesn't do anything for you in the standings. I just don't get it.
But does it do anything for you from a chemistry standpoint? If you were to win a cup, you win a contest, you win a tournament together, you go to Vegas together, and you win the NBA Cup, you think that that doesn't do a lot to, maybe not a lot, maybe it does a little bit to engender chemistry and that feeling of, we actually won something. Lindy Waters, the fourth,
whatever.
You win. Yeah. You win something. You're a young player and you go out there with your brothers and you get a trophy, you get a cup. Yeah, I think that matters.
It's just not worth it to me. I'm not going to say that you're wrong. I'm just saying, to me, that's a bad trade. It's just a bad trade-off. So again, to help sort of illustrate the point, Anthony Slater did a great job of making it. But if you win this game tonight, now you play on Saturday in Vegas against Oklahoma City, and you're looking at a road trip that is going to be potentially incredibly long, as much as 11 days. And if you do win that game against Oklahoma City, now you're playing an extra game for the NBA Cup. Understand, does not matter in the standings. It's not even in the standings.
What if you lose on Saturday? Do you not then come home before you go to Memphis? Or do you go to Memphis and you sit there for 3 days before you play the Grizzlies?
Randy, what happens
if they go to... He said that they have an 11-game road. They're packing for an 11-day road trip.
Because they have to be ready for that.
They do. I would imagine if they lose on Saturday, they fly home and they at least spend a day or two here and then they go to Memphis.
I don't know. I don't know exactly how
The Memphis game is Thursday, so they would probably
travel
home for a couple of days.
I would imagine
then
that they would travel home. The point being is you can get that rest right now and play a worse Mavericks team on Sunday. Now, listen, understand, when I sit down to watch the Warriors tonight and any night, I'm a Warrior fan, I'm rooting for the Warriors. But if I take the view from 10,000 feet in terms of what's better for their rest, also baked into going into that game Saturday is the idea that they could win it. And then you're playing an extra game that does nothing for you, in my opinion.
Again, I do think it does a lot for you.
Okay.
But you and I, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
It's not even my largest point. The largest point is, why doesn't it do anything for us? That's what I don't understand. Why are you playing these games?
Are you not entertained by a quarterfinal matchup in the NBA Cup against Houston?
I am a lot more. No, I'm entertained by this. This is a regular Warrior game, as whatever happens this weekend is. My point is, I am not entertained by the idea of, let's gather around the NBA Cup, let's see if Brandon Pajemski can be $500,000 richer in a game that you get nothing for. We've talked about this so many times, I find it to be the easiest thing for a league to do. Make that game mean something in the standings. If you win the NBA Cup, have that be at minimum some sort of a tiebreaker in playoff standings. Make it jump a seed.
Yeah, we talked about
wherever
that.
Wherever you are in the standings, jump a seed.
Yeah, that would be a reward for the fans, right, for sure.
We can come up with 100 different ways to do this that I don't think are that hard. But that game has got to mean something to the fans in the standings, or else all it is rich people playing for more money and getting more tired and therefore lessening you for your other games. I don't know, man. It's mind-boggling to me that they haven't done something, because it seems easy.
This is year two, and it's evolving, and I do think that they're doing a good job of evolving it, and they put this early in the season, and these are games that are not being load-managed, which tells me that the teams actually care about these games. And
sure.
You've got Atlanta coming up in their quarterfinal in just a few moments, and if you're Atlanta, this is probably the high water mark for your year. You're probably not going to make the playoffs, and if you do, you're not a threat to do anything in the East. So for Trae Young and a group of younger Hawks players, this is exciting, and this is something you're going to compete for.
Again, I do not challenge the idea that the players are into it. I would like us to be into it.
Well, some of us are.
Well, but
I'm certainly into it.
Yeah, but that's because you've decided that this sideshow is interesting to you, and that's fine.
Right. So I'm into it because I enjoy competition, and this is competition that they actually care about.
But why would you, honestly, the NBA Cup, if you make the finals, is no different than the Bay Bridge Series when the Giants play the A's.
Completely different.
No, it's not.
Bridge Series, you get a hunk of concrete, which was concocted by Brody Brazil.
This wasn't concocted?
Ahmed Fareed.
You're really
good. This was created by the league.
That's concocted.
Right.
By the league.
This is not a make-believe Bay Bridge series,
yes,
which no longer exists.
This
is an NBA Cup that the league has put out that players actually get money for. Do the players win the Bay Bridge series and get $500,000?
I don't care.
No, you get nothing.
I don't care.
You get to hold up a piece of concrete.
Why do I
from the
care
Bay Bridge.
If players get money?
Why do I care about the Bay Bridge trophy?
Granted, that's why I said they're the same thing.
They're completely different.
Why? What would you call a game that doesn't count in the standings? They have names for that. Go ahead.
It's called the play-in tournament.
It's called an exhibition.
The play-in tournament is a game that doesn't count in any standings.
That's not true. You move on if you win it.
Go to Basketball Reference and find a play-in stats anywhere on the list of games.
Doesn't matter. That's
it's not a postseason game.
But
it's not a regular season game.
It has playoff implications on the line, and you know
it
that.
It does.
You know
and,
that.
And this has...
You advance.
This has emotional implications for the players.
I mean, that's... You're projecting on
ask any Warrior player. They all said they're into it.
Because they have to.
They don't have to.
Yes,
and you can think that it's disingenuous.
Find one player who's criticized the NBA Cup.
It's because they're all into it.
No, it's because, A, they're financially incentivized.
You're saying that players don't speak their mind? Debo goes to Twitter and complains about not getting touches.
Right.
You're telling me that Steph Curry doesn't have the gravitas to come out and say, yeah, I'm just not that into it.
Of course he does, but he won't.
He can do it.
Yes, but he won't, because why? He's incentivized. He knows his teammates are incentivized, especially the young ones who don't make $60 million a year. They're incentivized, and they've got internal memos going around about their
internal
product.
Memos.
Of course they do.
Right.
Of course they do. This is their product. They're NBA players.
So Adam Silver is sending them emails saying, guys, whatever you do, don't talk bad about the NBA Cup or else you'll be fine.
I have no doubt that NBA teams have been told it'd be good to say nice things about this. And if you genuinely believe them, all the better. And maybe they do.
You probably don't need a memo to not say bad things about your company.
It still does not answer the question I'm trying to ask. What's in it for us? What is in it for the fan? And why is it so hard to bake that in there? That's all I'm asking for.
What's in it for us is a game tonight that the players on both sides are going to be more interested in. It's going to be more of a competitive game because it matters to them.
They were already playing this game. I'm talking about the final, which doesn't count for anything. It seems so easy.
It's going to be an entertaining basketball game. Yeah, if your team's in it, then I'm all in. I'm locked in. I'll even tailgate. It might be a watch party.
So are the Warriors versus the Lakers next October 6th. Entertaining. Doesn't count for crap.
Well, it depends, because Anthony Davis will probably not play.
Well,
and LeBron's not even going to show up. So
exactly. We're sponsored by California Lottery. You can weigh in on this for sure. 888-957-9570 is the number. I do feel like you could make a case that a loss here over the next two games over the long haul could absolutely be better for the Warriors. We'll take your phone calls. We'll get back into Kuminga shortly. It's Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
Yeah! And we're getting ready for one tomorrow night. We'll be there. Niners, Rams. Can I say it?
Do it.
Please?
Yeah.
Can I, please?
You're going to ask me to pick the Rams, are you?
No. I want to call tomorrow a must win.
I'll allow it. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, if you do the math, can they lose and still go to the playoffs? Of course they can.
Sort of.
Well,
it's pretty unrealistic.
It's very unrealistic.
Yeah.
So then you're talking about a Niner team going 9-8, and you would need the right team in the West to also go 9-8 and have a certain amount of losses that break your way, or you would need Washington and New Orleans and Seattle, Arizona, and the Rams to all collapse.
Yeah, you just need a lot of weird stuff to happen.
So, yes, it's not truly a must win. You don't get the E next to your team.
Correct.
If you lose.
I get you.
But I'm going to go ahead and allow it because,
I'm so excited.
You should be.
We get to drive down there tomorrow for a must win.
And I actually was using my pet phrase, virtual must win.
Mm.
It's a VMW. But not a BMW. It's a VMW. It's a virtual must win.
It's a BMW.
Yeah.
That's a big old must win.
Big old must win.
You know what I'm saying?
It is. Because if you lose, no matter what happens elsewhere in the West, you're in a world of hurt.
We've got some Brian Windhorst commentary that you are going to want to hear. The words LeBron, Butler, and Warriors will come up. We'll play it for you shortly. We want to go to the phones as well. Another quick aside, though, if I may.
Yeah.
I am seeing that Kyle Tucker.
Tucker? Sorry, that was just a quick Bruno throwback for you.
There's so few people who
you
got
better
that.
Be careful.
No.
There's so few people who got that joke, but it's such a good one.
His former partner, one of my former, I won't say he was a mentor, but he was a part of my rise in this business.
Tucker!
Any word that ended in ER, it would be that very thing.
Yeah.
Randy, whatever.
Yeah, we get it.
Don't be such a prude. I'm explaining it.
Do you know what the follow-up line was?
I don't even know.
You don't remember?
No.
I didn't even kiss her.
Yeah, okay.
That was always the follow-up line.
And that's why Tucker works so great.
Her. Yeah.
Anyway.
That made Grady laugh.
Funny. That's a good joke.
Whatever.
Yeah, except for when he did it every single time a word ended in ER.
Correct.
Anyway. Kyle Tucker. No, I can't even say it.
Tucker?
He's totally. He's apparently removed the words Astros from his social media accounts. Kyle Tucker, whose name came up in trade rumors alongside the San Francisco Giants merely hours ago. And I don't know where the Corbin Burns thing sits. If you listen to the buzz, it's Blue Jays and Giants. This is just my sort of, my two cents on reading the Corbin Burns conversation is this. It's Blue Jays versus Giants. And he wants it to be Giants. It's just a matter of whether they'll spend the chicken because the money has gone up, especially in light of what Max Fried got from the Yankees. So I know the Blue Jays are desperate and, you know, they were going after some other people who they didn't get. And therefore, I think that they're free-flowing with the money. And after getting Willy Adames, I don't know if the Giants are. So it's just a matter, I think, of Ken Buster Posey convince people who have the last name Johnson to really loosen up those purse strings because Corbin Burns, Bakersfield, and St. Mary's, and so many California ties, and a Buster Posey-type dude, I think wants to be a Giant. It's just a matter of whether they'll match the money.
Right. And that's big money.
So there's that, and then there's also trade winds blowing, and Kyle Tucker is a phenomenal right fielder.
Yeah, with 1 year remaining on his deal.
Right, that's the problem with him.
Million.
Well, the problem with Kyle Tucker is he's a corner outfielder who's going to be a free agent a year from now, and he just saw what Juan Soto got.
Right, he's not Juan Soto.
No.
The market has gone up.
Even if he's three-fifths of Juan Soto?
Even if he's half of Juan Soto, which he's not.
Yes, he is. He's completely half of Juan. He's more than half of Juan Soto. Kyle Tucker's a 30-home run guy. Like, he's a good
23 last year.
Good player. So
49 batted in, which is weird on 23 homers.
How many batted in?
49.
Oh.
And he had and he hit .289.
Okay.
So that's a lot of
means no one was ever on base.
Ever.
Yeah.
It's a lot of singles and doubles with, you know, and solo homers too.
Yeah, he's a good player, but he's kind of he's a rental. He's not a half season rental, but he's a one season rental.
Fifth in the MVP the year before.
Yeah.
With 112 batted in.
And good. From what I read, the Astros are looking for a pretty good haul in return. They're asking for Luis Gil from the Yankees. He won the Rookie of the Year in the American League.
Great pitcher. Right. No, they want pitching, and they supposedly want corner infield help. You could offer him Bryce Eldridge.
Yeah. You could offer him Wilmer and Lamont.
No, you could offer him Marco Luciano and one of the young pitchers. You could do that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll sway him.
Yeah.
Marco Luciano.
Come on. What if he puts a glove on both hands?
Exactly. No, right. He'll make twice the errors.
He might catch it. He might catch
it. He'll make double the errors.
Anyway, there's no doubt that the vibe, the feeling around Giants free agency is better basically than it was the entire Farhan Zaidi era. That was a perfect first move.
I guess, but last year was a good year for Farhan Zaidi.
It was.
Until it started.
It was, but again, I want to point out the importance of your big move happening in December.
Agreed.
Versus happening 2 minutes before spring training starts.
Jung-Woo Lee, Chapman, Soler, and Snell.
You're right, but Chapman and Snell and everything, that was so late in the game. And actually,
didn't matter to Chapman. He came out and was amazing.
No, but it sure mattered for Snell, and it immediately messed everything up.
Yeah.
And those were rinky-dink short deals. Not Jung-Woo Lee, but it was like you knew Snell and Chapman might be gone a year later. 7 years, your shortstop, bang, done.
In December.
In December.
Good point,
Anyway, so I my point is I think that your optimism about them making the next move, whatever it is now warranted. It's now warranted. That's all I'd say about that. Oh, hey, before we go more knee-deep into the Warrior thing, only because he's who he is. Only because he's who he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt in Hayward Hills is live on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Kurt. What are you doing?
Hey, fellas, there goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town. You guys are the best.
We're nothing without you, Kurt.
And let me tell you something about you, my friend. One thing about you, I watch the post-game shows on the Warriors. You got some fancy...
I do not host the Warriors post-game show. That is our morning show, lead host Bonte Hill.
Oh.
No.
I go. Well, I'm sorry then.
It's okay. It's okay.
Well, let's talk about...
But I like my shoes too. Anyway, carry on.
Hey, let's talk about the game tomorrow. You know, we're talking about Nick. We already know the situation with Nick. It's been up and down season. He hasn't done anything good. But if he loses tomorrow, they should bring back Rich Salah. Bring him back. That's who they should bring back and get rid of this guy. Because if they lose tomorrow, their season is over, unfortunately, and I don't want to see that. And the only way to stop the Rams tomorrow is stopping the run. You stop the run, then they're forced to pass a lot, even though they have a great quarterback. We need to rush them more. I think the game is on the shoulders of the defense, not the offense, because Purdy looks great last week. And Purdy's not going anywhere, and neither is the coach not going anywhere. Those guys are like father and son. So that's number one. And we got a big game tomorrow, and it's a big win for us. And Nick, if he doesn't do anything, they have to get him out of here.
There it is. The catchphrase, you brought it home.
There he is. That's Kurt. I agree with him, actually. Stopping the run tomorrow, the defensive side, I think the Niners are going to move the ball and score the ball on the Rams. They did it last time.
Kyren Williams, he's a little runt.
Yep, Juwan Jennings had it. That was the game that, you know, that was Juwan's game, the one down in L.A. And you look at the way Buffalo ran up and down the field, even in the loss last week against the Rams. I think the Niner offense will be fine tomorrow. Yep, stopping Kyren Williams, that's big. I also agree with him that that Bonte Salah should be the defensive coordinator again next year. I agree with that.
He called him Rick Salah.
He did.
Yeah.
And he called... He thought you were Bonte. And he mixed
or
up
maybe
me and Bonte.
Me and Bonte, you and Bonte.
I don't know.
But either way.
Bonte and I do look a lot alike.
So do Bonte and I.
Yeah.
It's crazy when you think about it.
Seriously. He doesn't want to admit it, but it's true.
Yeah. And Kyren Williams coming off a 29-carry game against Buffalo.
3 yards of carry only, though.
Yep, but two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
So, I mean, if you can carry it 29 times, then you're possessing the ball and you're keeping it away from Josh Allen.
Well, and they were in the lead. They were in big lead the whole time.
And he had 24 carries against the Niners for 89 yards, which was 3.7 per carry. So
I'd take that again, to be honest with you.
24 and 89?
If you can keep him under 4 yards of carry, I think that's job well done enough.
It just depends on when those yards come, and you look back at that game, and it was a lot of second half, as it was with James Conner in Arizona, and that game, it's been a lot of running backs having their way in the second half.
888-957-9570. All right, when we sort of last left you, before all the quick asides, we were talking about this NBA Cup. Again, I'm not like overly offended by, and certainly not offended by where we are now. I'm not offended by where we are now. This Houston game tonight, that's on the NBA schedule. This goes in the standings and the whole deal. Wherever they end up this weekend, whether it's Saturday in Vegas against Oklahoma City or if it's Klay Thompson coming back to Chase Center Sunday potentially, if they lose tonight, I'll be all in on those games. But I'm not going to apologize for the fact that if they end up in the NBA Cup final, while once you get there, you might as well win. I am incredibly bummed that that game will not mean anything other than what you pointed to, which is team camaraderie and team bank account. I don't understand how the NBA, I know you say it's only year two. To me, that's beyond enough time. I said this before it even started. This is the easiest thing of all time to find a way. If you're going to make your players play an extra game, good Lord, make it worth something in the standings for the fans. You got to do something for the fans here.
You're asking two teams to play an extra game.
Yes.
So it's not, the other 28 don't have to play anymore than 82.
I only care about one team.
Of course.
I care about the team that I care about. That's
it. And they didn't play the extra game last year.
They didn't.
And in fact, I was
thrilled.
They wound up not even making it into the knockout phase.
And therefore, they got to play Portland, and they won. And by the way, those games, we've watched how the when you get to the end of the year.
And they also had to play, what, OKC a fifth time last year? They added two games last year, did they not?
I think that there's a couple games that float. They didn't add them. It's just that they don't get defined until you know
whether or not you make it into the cup or not.
And because the whatever happened, I think they played a game against Sacramento and didn't win by enough points or something like that.
Right.
They earned themselves a home game against Portland, and they won it. And we've watched in the Western Conference what one win can do when you come down to the end.
Right.
Like, it's a big difference.
That's why I certainly want them to win tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, go to Vegas and, you know, win that game and go to the finals and win that as well.
I'm not rooting against them. What I'm saying is I do think there's a scenario where if they lose this tonight, it could mean better things down the road. You talked about winning an NBA Cup, like building team camaraderie. Well, losing tonight might build, less stuff in Steph's knees. How about that? That's worth something, isn't it?
Sure.
Okay.
But I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you're going to do that, if you're going to expend the energy, can we make it worth our while?
Yeah, and it is. It's worth our while.
Not ours.
To watch a team go out there and compete for a championship. Not the championship, but a championship. And if you're not into it, you're not invested in it, that's your prerogative. Myself, if they get to the NBA Cup Finals, I'm going to be all in on that game. I'm going to be excited to watch them try to win a title. Not the title, but a title. That, to me, is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's competition.
I mean,
we were watching the Champions League earlier, watching the soccer, and that's, you know, international, European, and there's a cup that comes at the end of it, but there's teams that are in that have no chance of winning it, but it's a thrill for them to be able to go up against a team like Arsenal and try, you know, ply your trade against the best in the world.
As they're trying to actually win, even though you may not think they have a chance. It's just like whoever gets the last wild card. If the Washington Commanders go to the playoffs, nobody thinks they're going to beat the Lions, but it means something to go try, especially for a young team. This is a side effort. It's for a completely different cup. And it's not like some sort of wonderful tradition has been built here. It's year two, and they've already changed the name of it, for God's sakes.
Well, they have a sponsor now.
Yeah, but they didn't even call it. The NBA Cup is not what it was called last year.
It was the in-season tournament,
exactly.
The IST.
Now it's the NBA Cup. Next year, what is it? Afternoon clam bake? Like, what are we calling this thing?
Well, it's 2 years in, so you know you're trying to find your footing with it. And I do think that this year has been more popular and already more successful than last year.
Vince in the city wants to talk some Warrior basketball. Hi, Vince. Thank you for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, first, my thoughts on this whole rumor thing going on with, like, this crazy trade that's supposed to happen with the Warriors is I don't necessarily think there really is a trade that's going to be worth making out there. I don't think that you're going to be able to find the successor to the throne of Curry when he retires. With that in mind, you're going to have to trade a whole bunch of players away that are supposed to be that guy, that successor. And I don't think JK is that. I don't think Wiggins would be that. I don't think we really have anybody on the roster who can be that. So if you're going to trade somebody, I think, hey, trade them. You know, make the move now. Steph tried it. He tried the whole two timeline thing, and it didn't work. He's at the end of his career. I think for a guy who turned this whole franchise around from a $500 million franchise into a $1 billion franchise with four rings, you kind of got to appease whatever he wants. And it sounds like he wants to win now, but one more before he's done. So I think, you know, you try the two timeline thing and building talent or building your core, your draft picks, but it didn't work. Go win now, because for the foreseeable future, I don't really see the Warriors being any more than a playoff team. There's not a name out there that's really making me think, oh man, they could go on another 4-year run. Unless it's somebody big who we probably can't afford. A la LeBron, Giannis. I don't even think Jimmy could do it. There truly isn't anybody else that I think is going to bring more than one more ring. So I think, why not just try to go for it now? Well, you still have a chance.
Yeah, here's what I'd say. Vince, thanks. I don't know how you feel, Debs. I agree with him conceptually, but when he starts using words like appease Steph, first of all, I think Steph, Draymond, and the organization are pretty close on the same page on all of this stuff. So I don't think there's like an appeasing that has to happen. I absolutely am all in on getting help for now and trying to win now, provided that it's not ridiculous. provided that it's not going over the top, provided that it doesn't feel like you're just hucking something against the wall to see if it sticks. Like, yeah, let's get Jimmy Butler, and you can have whoever the hell you want. Like, no, just...
And I'm not into giving up a bunch of picks for the future.
Yeah, like, I just... and again, that everybody can draw that line where they want in terms of what's too much, but I don't know. That point, for me, sort of sounded too much like, hey, who cares about any of these players other than Steph and Dre? No, I care about some of them more than others, but Dunleavy's already shown us he's not going to be frivolous.
No, he's not going to go willy-nilly into the trade market. And for me, the most interesting piece to this, and already we're kind of getting into Kuminga fatigue portion of the season, but for me, it really is Jonathan Kuminga. And I know the money doesn't work out for a lot of pieces that you'd want to get back, but the idea of do they or don't they, will they or won't they, should they or shouldn't they with Jonathan Kuminga? Do they or don't they love him and see him as a future one? Will they or won't they sign him in the offseason to a contract commensurate with what a player his age and his level will command? Should they or shouldn't they keep him, trade him, sign him, or the rest of it? Because we don't know what they feel inside. And if you ask 50 Warrior fans the same question, you'll get 30 different answers.
Sure.
Because some think that he's not ever going to be good enough to be your one. Some think that he is the sauce and he's the future. And other people really want Giannis, or they want LeBron or Jimmy or the rest of it. So it's fascinating with all the different opinions around one 22-year-old wing.
What do you make of this? Especially since the names you just brought up, LeBron, Jimmy Butler. Check this out. Brian Windhorst, ESPN, with regard to the Warriors trade discussions.
The most important names to watch between now and the February trade deadline isn't just Jonathan Kuminga. It's also Jimmy Butler down in Miami. Jimmy Butler is really, since last spring, when the Heat made it clear they were not going to extend his contract, we were probably headed for an ending of the ways between the Heat and Jimmy Butler. I wouldn't say it's a done deal yet, but I think teams are starting to kick the tires there and look and see what it might take. And the Warriors are one of them. The Warriors have been really active in trying to look for a star player. They kicked the tires on a couple other stars over the summer. And if Jimmy Butler is available and the Warriors feel like they need to upgrade, that could be. But who else is on their list, Roz? That's LeBron James. And I know that this is one of the most fascinating opportunities in the league. It's a delicious scenario to think about. The Warriors have dreamed of pairing LeBron with Steph Curry and Draymond Green since last year. They've made an inquiry, and it got shut down last February. That was before LeBron played with Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and won the gold medal over the summer. So they will definitely monitor the situation, and I don't think they do anything without knowing this door is locked. But I would just say with LeBron, it's up to him. He has a no-trade clause, and he has given no indication he wants the Lakers to do anything but upgrade the roster they've got, not that he wants to go anywhere.
Let's focus on, I don't think they do anything
right
until they know that that door is locked.
Well, that becomes really time-sensitive because if, you know, you take Windhorst at his word, and I do, what he said at the very end is LeBron is more interested in having them upgrade the roster than he is seeking a trade.
Right now, but
correct.
Tuck in, and I know that this is completely speculative, but tuck in the news that broke right before our show started today. LeBron has left the Lakers for the time being.
Temporarily.
Well, who knows? Who knows? LeBron was not at practice today. J.J. Redick said personal time, he's taking some time, and was asked, will he be back for the game on Friday? Don't know. Unknown right now. Almost has a Wiggins feel to it, so I want to leave open for I have no idea what's going on, and I hope it's nothing bad with LeBron and his family. But at the same time, could this be some sort of a power play, frustration, taking time to figure out what he wants to do next? I don't know. The timing of it is interesting.
Well, the timing of it kind of makes sense when you look at where they are in the schedule. And, you know, we're here NBA Cup time, so there aren't a lot of games right now. It's a little bit of a lull as, you know, the Lakers didn't make it in the Cup. And their next game is Friday, so it'll be 5 days between games. So, I mean, really, he could have done this. This is what's interesting. He could have just stepped away from the team and missed a practice. So they played Sunday, and they won't play again until Friday.
And they already, Reddick gave the whole team Monday and Tuesday off.
Right. So you come back on a Wednesday, and everyone's coming back in, and he then says, or the word then comes out, I'm going to need a little bit more time.
Need so more time.
2 days off wasn't enough. Maybe it is something personal, we don't know, but the timing of it, especially in the midst of a five-day break, makes this even more curious.
Jack, you'll be first up next, 888-957-9570, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Plus, if you missed what Anthony Slater said earlier today on The Roast with regard to Jonathan Kuminga and how the Warriors are approaching the next 8 weeks or so, you got to hear this. Pretty interesting coming up next. Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to our silly show, Willard and Dibs, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. While you're there, check out what Slate said to Bonte and Joe on the Morning Roast. And we're going to play some of that for you here in just a sec, because there's a bunch of nuggets, not Nikola Jokic, like just Slater nuggets in that conversation. We'll have some of that for you. We'll keep talking it out. We're moving toward the actual game itself. 6:30 tonight is the tip-off. Warriors Live starts in less than 45 minutes.
Me and you.
Yeah, brother.
Let's do it.
Man, we're going to build up this NBA Cup.
You better.
It is so intense.
Get your negativity out before 5:30, because then we're all in.
No, brother.
We're going to cup it up.
Understand, my negativity is not about tonight.
I get it. And
it's
not about tonight. It's about game 83.
Yeah, like it's, and I don't even mind that. Just make it mean something for us.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Pride. You're going to walk into your office.
Good Lord.
If you don't work in a radio station that covers the team, you're going to bebop into your cubicle after they win the NBA Cup, and your buddy who's a Laker fan sitting across from you, you're going to, hey, tell me how my cup tastes. Yeah, cup it up. I got the cup. We got the cup.
I will not say, how does my cup taste?
My cup runneth over with cup.
I will not say that.
I'm going to come in here. I'm going to get a We Won the Cup shirt and wear it proudly.
I just find the whole thing, again, the turnoff is not the basketball. I'm not mad at the players who like money. I love the city of Las Vegas, Nevada. There's nothing about it I hate other than the fact that the league decided to go make this tournament, and the only thing that they could come up with to ramp up the intensity for it is to give multimillionaires more money. And that's fine too, but how did you not think of, and then what's in it for the fans? That team that wins, the money is for the players, and the blank is for the fans. And they never filled in the blank. They just went and had a cup and got a sponsor, and off we go. I don't get it. That's all. What I'm proposing is not difficult. It's not preventative of anything. It doesn't change a damn. The floors can still be pretty. We can still go to Vegas. Still all the things. And in fact, I would argue you would ramp up the intensity of it for the players even more, because they want good things to happen in the standings too. It's easy. Easy. 2 foot putt.
Yeah, I don't know if that would, like, get the fans all ratcheted up. So you're Atlanta.
More?
You're Atlanta, and you win the cup. You go from the 13th seed to the 12th seed.
You've got a bad perception of the Atlanta Hawks.
Where they're going to end up. I don't think Atlanta's very good.
They're going to be in the East playoffs. Have you seen the East?
Right now. They were in the East playoffs last year, and they had 37 wins.
They're in the East playoffs every year. They are 4 games clear of the teams that are out of the play-in tournament in the East. That's a playoff team in the East. I'm not saying they're winning a title.
Right.
But how about this for the Atlanta Hawks, who just coincidentally right now sit in the 7th seed? And you told them, you win the NBA Cup, that's a seed jumper. Well, now you jump out of the 7th seed into the 6th seed if that's where you finish. And that is incredibly significant. And it would be wonderful drama coming down the end of the regular season, knowing that if you're the 6th seed in the East and Atlanta ends in the 7, whoop, they're going to jump you. They're going to jump because they won the NBA Cup. I don't know, man. I think that's a winning idea.
Yeah, I think it was my idea.
I do. I think you're right.
Yeah, sea jumper.
It's a winning idea.
It's great, and I do think that fans, that might get fans a little bit excited, but I don't know if there's anything that could get the fans excited enough. And the reason why they had to pay the players $500,000 if they won it is because the players already aren't excited by any of these games. They load manage all the time. So if you're an NBA player, look at Joel Embiid, who's making, what, 50-something million dollars a year? And he's got no incentive to play.
Of course not. And he won't.
Right. Why would he?
Easy.
Why would he play basketball?
But what would Philadelphia Sports Radio say about him if he had no interest in trying to help the team get a seed jumper? Now you're going to get torched.
Well, he's already getting torched.
Yeah, but it would get worse.
Yeah.
It would get worse. Jack in Berkeley wants to talk about the Cup. Hi, Jack. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah. So, yeah, a little bit about the Cup, but I agree and disagree with a couple of things. So why do we have the NBA Cup, and who does it matter most to? Well, obviously it matters most to the owners. The owners want to have it. Somehow it's bringing in more money, the whole thing. So the owners want it. But who wants it second most? Who's into it the second most? I really think it's the players. And it has to do with what Draymond said a couple of weeks ago. If there's something to win, we want to win it. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, players are athletes. I mean, they're competitors. They want to win. This is a little more visible. But then the third group that really it matters to least and don't really care are the fans. The fans, and that's because it doesn't mean anything, right? The fans just don't care about the Cup, and that's the problem because they should be the most important.
Jack, so, I'm straight up with you. Let me only add this. You want to know who cares? There's two levels of players. Do you want to know who I think cares about it the most? Is the players who aren't filthy rich yet. I know they all make good salaries, but I bet you Brandon Pajemski cares about this more than Steph Curry does. I guarantee it, in fact, because $500,000 means a lot more to him. And then the other thing, Jack, thank you so much for the call. I'm surprised that nobody, like, I don't get too bothered by this stuff, but I'm surprised that nobody has brought this up and that it doesn't offend some fans. You're telling me that two basketball teams are willing to head to Vegas and play an extra game that doesn't count, yet countless stars around the NBA can't execute the 82-game schedule that they've been given.
Yeah.
That's not offensive to you? They'll go play a game that doesn't count for $500,000, but they won't play on Tuesday when you bought a ticket.
Yeah.
Because, what's in it for me? Like, wow, that should bother some people.
It bothers a lot of people,
yes.
Which is why the league's popularity is not as high as it once was and not as high as it should be. There aren't that many Buddy Hields out there,
yep.
A guy who played 84 games last year in an 82-game schedule. He played 84, and this year he's probably hell-bent on playing all them games again. Kevon Looney only missed a game and had his streak broken because his coach decided that he wasn't going to play that night. He's another guy who goes out there and plays, and the majority of these guys in the NBA, they do go out and play unless they're really hurt, but it's the load managers and it's the superstars who clearly don't want to play at all anymore. They're the ones who give it a bad name.
I mean, I love you bringing up the name Joel Embiid, and there are others. I know Kawhi Leonard hasn't played at all. Paul George and Philadelphia has had such a dumpster fire start to their season. I don't know that they would care about anything changing the playoff structure the way they're going right now. I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs in the East, which is bananas. But there are so many players around the NBA who don't play every night, but they're going to be willing to go play in this one. And then there's two things about that. I mean, Warrior, this fan base has sat here for the last 3 weeks worrying about Draymond's and Steph's health. That's what we've been sitting here going, yeah, I don't think the Warriors can really go anywhere late because Steph's got bursitis or whatever the hell we want.
Tendonitis.
Okay. We're sitting here worrying about this, but then just like, yeah, let's play extra games that don't even help. But Dibs, I don't need to tell you what can happen in one game.
Of course, it can happen in practice.
I don't know, man. Again, I'm not like, oh my gosh, let's march. But I don't understand it. I just don't understand it conceptually. I don't understand how all of that math equation adds up to people. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But it's just entertainment, and the NBA feels like having a tournament and having games where the players are going to compete and go at it and play for something. Maybe the fans don't get anything for it, but the fans get entertainment in a game like tonight, New York and Atlanta, for a berth in the semifinals in Vegas. These teams are competing, and I'm not watching every dribble of it because I'm doing a show with you, but I would imagine that these teams want to go to Vegas. If I'm an NBA player,
well, sure,
I would love to have a trip to Vegas in the middle of the year to go out there and play a game or maybe two.
Again, I'm not arguing how the players feel about it at all. They can feel however they want to
feel.
But
the league feels like the fans are going to be attracted to competitive basketball in December. That's the idea.
So why not make it even more? I mean, the callers are right. What have we really, really gotten out of this so far? A sponsorship?
Yeah.
We got
big
that.
Big one.
Right?
Big one.
Yeah.
Yep.
We got extra games. That's gate revenue. That's TV revenue.
Absolutely.
That's all of that stuff. That's what we really got out of this. Don't let them package this and tell you that this is to increase fan interest halfway through the year or before Christmas, because
they want the fan interest because that leads to ratings. That leads to eyeballs.
But it hasn't been working. NBA Cup games have been going on for weeks now, and the ratings are in the toilet. So how we doing? I got an idea. Gussy it up for us. We're the ones you want. We're the ones you want watching and listening and engaging. Not the players' bank accounts, not just sponsors. Jose in San Jose. What's up, Jose? Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, guys. I have an idea. It's kind of extreme, I guess, but you hear me out, you know, and I'd love to get your feedback on it. So I do understand, obviously, that this championship game is an extra game, but what if we made it not an extra game? And here's what I mean. What if the winner of the cup gets to have one less, that they need one less victory to win the championship? So, for example, let's say the Warriors win the cup.
Okay.
And, you know, let's say they're the fourth seed, or let's say even the seventh seed. If going into that first round series, having to win one less game, let's say they only need to win three, and since they won the cup already, that's that extra game. Does that make sense? Like, instead of having that wear and tear, having to play that extra game, I feel that idea of, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is interesting, Jose. This is a fun idea. You're sort of essentially saying, if I were to clean it up a little bit, you're sort of saying that they would start their playoff series up 1-0. In a way,
yeah.
Right? You could look at it either way, as losses or wins.
Yeah, first round, you're already up 1-0.
Here's what I struggle with on that. That's a reward for whoever wins, but then it's a penalty for another team that's got nothing to do with it.
Well, you had a chance to win the cup.
I understand
and
that.
You didn't.
But in other words, like where your seeding lands, let's say the Warriors win the cup, and then they get the 4 seed. Well, the 5 seed is getting penalized in ways that all the other non-cup winning teams didn't get penalized. That I struggle with that a little bit.
A little bit, and I get that part of it. And the way, thank you, Jose, for the great idea, because what I was thinking about is you get to have in your pocket a card where you get to pull it out, and it's a we win card. So you might be down 2-0 in the Western semis, and you pull it out. We're only down 2-1 now.
Oh,
we win.
It's kind of the same thing.
But you'd be able to you'd be able to pick and choose when you played that card. And I like the idea because if we think about MLB and what's happened with their playoffs, which is kind of a joke now, you play 162 and you win your division and you're dominant. Well, then you face a really good pitcher and you get knocked out in 2 straight games. I would like to see the MLB playoffs where if you go out and you win your division, you start that best of 5 up 1-0.
I mean, open to it. Crazy ideas. Look, they go to extra innings now, and there's a guy over there at second base already.
And now we're talking about the golden at-bat, right?
Yeah, well.
Is that what it's called, the golden at-bat?
Something. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.